Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fratello Talks. I'm your host, Nacho. This week, I'm joined by my colleagues,
Robert Jan
and
Lex.
And we are going to be discussing excuses that people make for not buying watches.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a phenomenon that we've identified. We see it in the comments on our website and many other websites, and it's something that that we've been looking into and that we're going to discuss today. But before that, of course, let's do a wrist check. Lex, what is that?
I'm wearing my favorite dress watch.
Is that bioceramic?
No, but it is made of
Maurice Lacromium.
It's recycled something. It is. And this is the Icon Tide Benzilla. So it has the dial from the Thai artist Benzilla.
Very cool. Yeah. This was a love at first sight for you, right?
Yeah.
And RJ, you got one.
I got a little bit excited when I saw it for the first time, together with Lex.
Yeah, I got him excited.
But it was probably the champagne and the macarons that did it.
But there was no excuses.
Particularly nice macarons that day at Maurice Lacroix.
But there were no excuses that day.
No.
No excuses.
But I love it. I really do.
Everything was right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I don't wear it a lot, but I like
it. It's a fun summer watch.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got some color to it. It's something that definitely gets a double take out of me, at least. So, very cool. Very, very cool. And RJ, what's on your wrist?
I'm wearing my Rolex Sea Dweller 16600.
Very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hard to argue with.
Yeah.
that's a proper watch. I'm wearing my Breitling Aerospace, the Repetition Minute. It's I think from the early 2000s, probably. Yeah. So this sort of gray area that E-series, we call neo vintage. Might also be. Yeah, it's a gray area. It has a gray dial.
Especially the bracelet is a gray area.
It's an F series.
Oh, an F series.
Yeah. The reference is, now that I'm actually looking at it, it's an F65362.
Good luck with that.
That's the one. So for those curious, this is a bit of a Franken model, because I believe the bracelet's probably not the right one. It's a Breitling bracelet for an aerospace, but I don't think that this is the one that was originally on this. But this was a two-tone model originally. And so it would have had the gold rider tabs, but somebody decided that...
They just fell off.
Or they fell off, exactly. But I like it. It creates a bit of a different look. And it's all about that beeping.
Are there rumors of a new aerospace?
There are rumors.
Yeah, but not aerospace, because during Dubai Watch Week, I asked George Kern.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said, next year, so this year, we will do something with a professional line.
Okay.
So with the digital versions, but not an aerospace.
Emergency? A new emergency three?
I think it's a new emergency, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so definitely something to keep an eye out for in the next probably few weeks. I suppose they'll time it with Watches and Wonders,
I guess,
potentially.
So.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of when all the brands get ready for big releases. But yeah, and so as we see these big releases, we will also expect to see a lot of excuses, a lot of reasoning, a lot of parallel thinking, and a lot of. Do you want to explain this phenomenon, RJ? It's something we see a lot.
Yeah, we see a lot of comments on the website, but also on the gram. Mm-hmm. And other social media, where people come up with excuses not to purchase a watch. And I think the most common one is price, of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We saw it very clearly, for example, with the Piaget Polo 79, which I really love as a watch. But people cannot disconnect it with the price. Then they say, oh, but it's 80,000 or 81,000 euros. And yeah, but it's still a nice watch. I mean, despite that it's far out of my wallet. And if I then ask people, but if it would have a price tag of 40K or 30K, would you buy it? Yeah. And they say, no. So, well, what's the point then of the remark? I get it. It's a lot of money. But I think we discussed it in the past that price and product in the luxury industry, there's a complete disconnect. So that's one thing.
It's more disconnected than ever, I would say.
Yeah. It's more disconnected than ever. But it's just a disconnect, and it's a luxury product. And I think the persons who buy that Piaget Polo 79, they don't care.
Yeah.
And then you saw the comparison to the Vacheron Constantin 222. Because that watch was just 73K, but as if that is normal. No, that's also not normal. There's also a disconnect there. So that doesn't make much sense to me, but it's often used as an excuse. But we also see it with, I think, diameters of watches, thickness
small,
of watches.
Too big.
The watch is not water resistant enough. But then do you swim with it? No. Yeah. But I just want to walk outside and be comfortable if it rains that I can wear the watch. And then they want a 100 meter water resistant watch. No.
Yeah.
And I feel, and perhaps you do as well, that these are often excuses not to purchase a watch.
It's made up arguments.
Made up arguments.
And,
yes.
And I think it's okay. It's almost like you see a watch, and then it is like, okay, there's a someone puts a gun to your head, you have to buy it.
Yeah.
But that's of course not the case. You can just read the article. It's inform yourself about watches that are out there, and then you either like it or dislike it. And I get it that you comment on thickness because you think that it's the watch is proportionally wrong, but you don't have to make an excuse why you would not buy it, because it's okay. It's okay if you don't want to buy it. It's okay if you don't have the budget, because it would be silly to suggest that if you are a daily visitor of Fratello, that you would buy watches every day.
Yeah.
So almost no one has unlimited funds. So you don't have to explain yourself why you're not going to buy it.
It's a bit of a false pressure that people put on themselves.
Exactly. And I think that's wrong.
It's this usual comment, right? Like, oh, I like the watch, but it's too expensive. Or I like the watch, but it's too thick. Or just it's too thick or it's too expensive. And I think ultimately with every watch, there's a bit of a tipping point. Like if you truly see a brand new watch, right, for the first time, and you read about it, you read the introduction article, and you know whether it's for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, for 90% of the watches that you see, maybe even a higher percentage, they're not going to be for you. You're not going to want to buy them.
And that's a good thing, because otherwise
that's
fine. Tricky.
But that's the thing. I think people almost feel that every time they read about a watch, there is this pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, you should be buying this. Everybody should be buying a wide dialed Speedmaster. But then people go, man, but it's like 600 euros more. So therefore, no, that's a deal breaker. It's not really a deal breaker. It's just kind of pointing at one of the probably very many reasons why that watch doesn't fully connect with that person. And sort of like, you know, turning it into this is the reason why I'm not buying it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to buy the watch. You also don't have to come up with a reason not to buy the watch.
Exactly. Yep. Just enjoy the watch.
Yeah.
Look at it, comment on it.
Sure.
That's all fine. But that's the whole thing. There is so much emphasis. There's so much emphasis on the fact that does a watch keep its value? Everything is about price nowadays. So everything is about buying. It's not about the experience. It's about ownership.
And do you think it's also the fault of the brands by increasing their prices so steeply in the past, like let's say 5 years, that this is the topic? Because I also remember...
Also, yeah.
You remember it as well. I think when going to Baselworld or SIHH, or the predecessors of Watches and Wonders, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, this was not a topic. The price was not really a topic.
No, true. That's very true.
It started just like 5 or 6 years ago when everything became so expensive. Even the last 2 years became even more expensive.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think maybe that excuses and the steep rise of prices go hand in hand. That people are, okay, I'm just going to say it, maybe feel a little bit embarrassed that they can't afford that new X brand anymore.
Polo 79.
I could afford that. 10 years ago, I was in the market, and I still have the interest in watches and in brands and what have you. And then this brand releases a watch that I kind of like, but it's completely out of my budget, and they kind of feel embarrassed by it. But I would say don't, because the prices of watches have risen so steeply, no salary can keep up with that. Yeah. So, and I think that's definitely happening in the watch world, and therefore you were once a buyer, but now you probably have to.
You're more of an observer today.
You're an observer. Yeah. You're an enthusiast.
A watch observer.
Observer. Yeah, no, but I think it's the harsh reality.
It's okay to be a watch observer
Of course.
And it's also something that perhaps gives you a little bit of pause, because I feel that something we've seen a lot of is flippers. People who buy a watch.
Oh, many. Yeah,
they've done a lot of that.
It's the next big thing, so excited about it. And then give it 2 weeks, give it 2 months, and then it's gone and on to the next one. And that's one way of experiencing watches, yeah. And that's completely fine.
Right, yeah.
But I think in some way, if you do that, it's a little bit like buying a bunch of cars and trying the next car.
Yeah.
You're losing money along the way. For the most part, you're going to be. With watches, perhaps it's going to be a lot less than with cars, of course. But ultimately, it is this sort of wanting to try it, to feel it's almost motivated by FOMO, right? Like if you don't own this, this specific watch that just came out, you feel this you have this fear of missing out, and then, you're not part of it because you don't have it. But it's okay.
I think for many collectors, and also for me, when I started with watches, like late 90s, early 2000s, I also flipped a lot of watches, but in a very much slower pace. Mm. There was hardly any, there was no social media.
But there was no trading. You flipped them, but it was not trading. You were not doing it to make money.
No, it was not a money thing. It was not a money-driven thing. It was just, I want to experience this watch. Yeah. And I owned, I don't know, several different vintage watches or modern watches, just to see if it was for me.
Yeah.
And when I was done with it, sometimes a few weeks later, sometimes months later, sometimes years later, sold it, bought something new, or traded it.
But that's a different angle.
Yeah, it's a different angle. But today, I think, because there's so much pressure, also perhaps social media pressure.
Mm. Oh, definitely.
To be able to show a new watch, show your watches on pictures and stories, that people just flip more often. Could be the case in order to have more experienced watches or to try more watches. Yeah.
But so that's one side of this whole debate, I would say. And then the other side is more what you were saying before is a little bit hinting more towards specs, right? Because I think a lot of the time the price is too high argument is due to this. And then I think that there's people who almost make their watch enthusiast life more difficult by putting these kind of irrational barriers in the way, like saying, if it doesn't have 100 meters of water resistance. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that I would say I prefer, but it's certainly not a deal breaker.
There's always you can always find something.
Of course,
That's the thing.
It feels that some people have their spec sheet first, and then they look at the watch. And I think it's healthier and nicer, and also perhaps easier for your mindset to just look at a watch. Look at the price, of course, needs to be in your budget, within your budget. Look at do you like it? And if you like it, then you can take a closer look at specs if it meets your requirements. But for me, if a watch is not water resistant more than 30 meters, I really don't care.
Yeah,
I have watches that are more water resistant. If it's a really thick watch, if it suits the watch, like a Ploprof or a Diver, it's fine. If it's a dress watch, then it's a bit...
But you didn't buy the Ploprof because you thought, great, this will be great for my weekends going deep sea diving.
I love the looks of the watch because it's so awkward. The history of the watch is really cool, and that's why I bought the watch.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine had that watch as a daily wearer for many, many years. And that was for me a bit, that's quite cool if you can do that.
Mm.
And then I bought a watch as well, and I wear it with my holidays, basically. But it's a really cool watch, and it's thick, and it's a bit clumsy, but... In fact, on the wrist, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And it's quite the weight and the dimensions.
That's also an interesting part because a lot of the time people will say, 38 millimeters, oh, that's way too big. Oh, that's way too small.
Yeah.
And you think, then you're limiting yourself to just because of this idea that you have that it might not work for your wrist. And in some way, there's so many watches out there where you can really experience them. And I'm thinking maybe about some of the watches that I purchased last year. So this, the Panerai PAM 55 or the Breitling Avenger Chronograph, where if I look at the dimensions of either one of those watches, I would think, they're way too big for my wrist. They are super chunky.
Yeah, but you
they're
wear the Panerai like a Panerai. You're not wearing it like a like a Piaget Altiplano.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're wearing
exactly.
it like a Panerai. Exactly. So that's...
But I also think that you really need to try the watch.
Oh, definitely.
It's really... And we sell watches online with Fratello. I think there's a lot of online selling going on. Hmm. But if you can, try to give it a try on your wrist.
For sure. Yeah,
because that's what specifications can be so deceiving.
Yeah. And also, your wrist is shaped differently than mine. Yeah. So it's also that. And
But people focus on this like widely accepted. These are the specs that are widely accepted. These are the sizes that are widely accepted. When it should be much more like what works for me. And you know, what do I appreciate? What's within my budget? And what's the kind of watch I'm looking for? I think people get caught up in too much of this social media.
Yeah. No, there's definitely the pressure to own everything that's out there, because you have to show everything that's on Vogue, and then you come up with an excuse like, it's too expensive for me. Well, maybe you don't have the budget, and that's fine. Hmm. But you can still appreciate. You can't buy everything you like, whether it's cars, shoes, watches, pens. Yeah. That's not the way of the world. And somehow it seems that within our little watch bubble, we should buy everything. There is this pressure of buying.
And I think maybe this is also something where we have to look at the way that we see things as journalists, as people who write about watches, right? Because a lot of the time we have to suspend that bias or that personal opinion in order to see how that product could make sense in the wider context of things, or in the context in which it should exist. So a lot of the time, I mean, if I was reviewing an AP, I would be like, it's too expensive, right? Like, paragraph one, it's too expensive, I'm not interested, that's it. Or whatever, right? Whatever watch,
it's out of my budget.
Anything, exactly. But you don't, right? You have to kind of consider the context in which it exists. And you know, you could review any number of watches and have your personal influence sort of dictate how you're going to feel about it. But you have to, as somebody who reviews watches and who tries to give somewhat of an objective opinion, I mean, it's a review, so there's no such thing as an objective review. You're still providing opinion on top of it. But a lot of the time you have to say...
There is a lot of good arguments you can make, of course.
For not buying a watch.
Yeah. Let's take the Zenith, the triple calendar.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the dial side of that watch, that's a nice looking watch. Mm-hmm. It's balanced. Mm-hmm. It has a nice story to it, because there was something in the past that was like that. But then when you look at the profile, I think that then you can objectively say that something went wrong, and therefore it sits a bit awkwardly on the wrist. So then you write that. So I could also completely get if a commenter would also say something like that. That I don't feel that's even an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes there are valid arguments to be made for saying, okay, it's too thick, or the proportions are a bit off.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just a pseudo excuse.
For sure. And well, we also have the privilege of seeing many of these watches in person and putting them on our wrists and seeing how they work for us.
Yeah.
But of course, keeping in mind that it might differ for other people, right? For other people that case shape might not be so much of an issue.
No, definitely.
And the aesthetics and the story.
Hey,
and
if
the,
you're
the way
so
it looks,
blown away by the looks, you take the slightly awkward positioning on the wrist for granted. Hey, I'm wearing this by some people might completely spit on this, which is fine because it's water resistant, so it's not a care in the world.
Some spit.
No, but the same with the Porsche design, the utility version of the military chronograph. It's a Bund strap.
Yeah.
Some people detest Bund straps. I love Bund straps. They're great, but
it's a very bold choice. It's a very divisive choice from the brand.
It's going to sit too high on your wrist. Yeah, definitely. But you know that up front, so you're not going to wear it with your tuxedo. The only issue I have with that watch is that it's a Bund strap with a double folding clasp, which is kind of that's a mismatch, because it doesn't make any historical or practical sense. So then you write stuff about that, but I can totally understand. Some people might think, well, that's the folding clasp is the epitome of luxury. I want that. That's a perfect mix of
gives longevity to the leather, because you're not folding it as much. But it's a bit much, I have to say. Yeah.
Of course, we're also sometimes nitpicking, and I don't mind the nitpicking, because I also think that that's our job.
Yeah. But dismissing something based on one little detail, or based on one thing, and it can be okay. Right. If you, if somebody were to say, oh, my wrist is
yeah,
this
yeah,
big,
yeah, yeah. No,
and
definitely.
Therefore a 44 millimeter watch just doesn't work.
And
fair enough.
Also, I mean, because we're looking at a tiny object. So yeah. if a tiny detail is off, it has huge consequences.
For sure. For
be
sure.
It a date window mm-hmm. at 12 mm-hmm. or yeah. there are definitely details that will completely put you off.
But sure. Our readers are clever, right? I mean, they can also
definitely
yeah, all three of them.
Yeah, all three of our readers are very clever. No, but
shout
they can,
out to no.
they can also they can also make up their own conclusion and read our review of a watch.
Yeah,
say okay. That's fine. That's their opinion. That's fine. But I happen to like a date window at 12 or at 4:30 yeah. or whatever. Mm. Or I like a thicker watch or a thinner watch. Or, yeah. And that is also healthy because that also shows like a broader landscape of watches mm. that you will see. Mm. Otherwise, everyone would be wearing this Rolex Datejust exactly. or whatever. You yeah. would see everywhere the same watches.
Oh, yeah, exactly. If there was a perfect watch, that would be the one that everybody
exactly.
would buy. And it's then it would be a very boring yeah. world, right? I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's a very personal object. Yeah. There's mm-hmm. a lot of personal taste, and some of the even within the Fratello team, some of the watches that people have, you might think, hey, good for you. That's yeah. awesome. I would never wear
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But good for you.
Yeah.
Or you know, or they might think the same the other way. I mean, that's kind of part of the beauty of it. But it does feel like sometimes people miss the point. An example being the Seiko Divers that came out last week or the week before, if you're mm-hmm. listening to this, which had the SPB sort of successor
oh, yeah.
with a better movement,
yeah.
With a 3-day power reserve, 300 meters instead yeah. of 200 meters, the date window at 4:30,
yeah.
and people just went, oh, it's the date window's at 4:30 now. I don't like the watch, and that's fair to some degree. But then it's also like, but yeah, but consider everything else as the
bigger
that
picture.
Has gone into. But, it's a little bit yeah. slimmer, I believe.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
it is,
yeah. yeah.
And the dial is matte and not sunburst, so it gives it a
I happen
completely
to like
different
when I saw them.
Me too.
Yeah.
I liked the watch, and yeah. what I liked even more was the extremely boring presentation. Because we had the
oh,
presentation.
I missed that.
Oh. No, but that was excellent.
On the 6th, yeah.
But no, it really was. And it also this is a completely different topic now, but what they showed us is how they managed to make it thinner,
yeah.
With the it's an upgraded,
it's an upgraded movement, yeah,
an upgraded yeah. movement. But there's also the upgraded water resistance, right?
Yeah, also, yeah.
Because
yeah.
what they showed, they changed the inside of the case. They added like a structural improvement.
Okay.
And they went to great length in explaining that. And then I thought, this is what more watch brands should actually do.
Yeah.
Because
and put it in the press release.
Put it in the press release.
Then we can talk about it.
We can. I can now talk about it. But I didn't write the article, and it was the timing was a bit off. But it was so interesting to see that they went through great lengths
yeah.
of not only the improved movement but also the improved case. Mm-hmm. And if you then only as a comment, I don't like the date.
Mm.
It's a bit, man, they really tried that hard. And it's so good to see innovation still being a driving force in this parallel universe. Yeah. And if we can just talk about that a little yeah. bit more, then it also kind of changes the
for
vibe
sure.
as
yeah,
in,
sure.
ah, well, price is too high. Yeah, I don't like the data that position.
Yeah.
yeah, I don't like 3 days. Yeah, well, it is a better movement. They really mm-hmm. They changed tiny little components in the escapement and what have you. So much going on with yeah. that watch, and that made me more enthusiastic. And with that knowledge, you also look at it through different eyes.
Well, you gain respect for the brand because you think,
definitely.
Hey, they had a good, they had a really great selling model.
Yeah.
And what they did was, okay, this is a great selling model, very popular.
Yeah.
Let's make it better.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, fantastic, let's pump up numbers in the factory, let's get more out there and let's sell more.
New dial collars.
They just yeah. make it
objectively
or that.
Speaking, yeah. it's a better watch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think it's also and this is kind of my final point on this, but it's also to do with just the sort of the format of comments themselves. I mean, how long do people take to type out a comment?
Yeah.
Sometimes probably quite long, because we see some comments, especially
quite
on our
epistles.
Site, that are very lengthy and very thoughtful.
Essays.
And we of course appreciate that from our readers.
Definitely.
But yeah, that's I think that for us, especially as writers, like when you write something and you take sometimes a couple of days to put an article together. And then you get like one liner. The lugs are too long. Oh, okay. But did you read the rest? I mean, it can also, I think, rub us a little bit the wrong way. But true. But ultimately, I think, what would be our advice to people? Like, take a little bit more time.
Try to look at it from a like a bigger perspective or bigger picture.
Yeah,
and also to try to see what's behind it, behind the design choices, behind the choices for a certain movement. Or, I think it would tremendously help. And I know it's not possible if people would have a sneak peek inside a watch manufacturer, where the watches are being made,
that also, designed, definitely.
See the amount of work that goes into it, how much passion goes into watches, and not only expensive watches, also like more affordable watches. And I think that would change it drastically. And I also think what you just said with the comments, would you say these things to someone's face, owning that watch?
Mm.
Probably because I think it's very easy to be very negative in a comment, to be a negative Nancy or a keyboard warrior. It's very easy.
Yeah.
And I think it takes more effort to see the positive side of things. And just, it would also make your life so much nicer to be a little bit more positive in general.
Don't be angry at everything.
Exactly.
Don't be angry at a watch case size.
Yeah. Don't be angry at watches. It makes no sense.
Don't be angry, because if ultimately you don't like it, no one's going to force you. Like you said, no one's going to put a gun to your head to buy it.
No, it's not. And that's the same. That would be my advice. That it's okay that you're not a multimillionaire. It's okay you can't afford a new watch every month.
I was never angry at Fiat for their Multipla. Never.
I kind of like the Multipla for all kinds of different
reasons. I have a picture I got to show you guys. I saw a very heavily modded Multipla when I was in Spain, and it's a thing to behold.
Can we put it in the podcast?
Yeah, it'll be in the podcast.
Okay, but I think that's okay. And if you can't afford that Grand Complication, or you can't afford that, I don't know what, hey, it's fine. Just enjoy this the watch world as an enthusiast.
One extra paper round.
Watch and let watch.
Ooh. It's deep, man.
Speaking of wise words, let's look at our comment of the week from last week. So we have from Aprumbeti. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Aprumbeti?
Aprumbeti. On the website, not on the YouTube.
Okay.
This was, of course, within the context of previous episode, which was on watch pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite an interesting way to follow that up, but I think we were quite... okay with that one. Just pet peeves, nothing that's a deal breaker. And the comment was, NATO straps that push the watch forward, rotating bezels that are mushy, and unsigned crowns. So that's three more pet peeves added to the pet peeve pile. Mushy bezels.
Mushy bezels.
I hate a mushy bezel.
I also have a shout out.
Oh yeah, sure. Go for it.
We get a lot of DMs. Also in my private Instagram, people slide into my DMs. But shout out to Julian. Julian, I know you're watching. He's very much of an avid follower on Fratello.
Cool.
And he asked me the question, would I prefer the Speedmaster Silver Snoopy Award 50th anniversary, so the last one, or the new Weidel Speedmaster Professional? And this might come as a surprise. Peoples, but it's the Weidel Speedmaster.
What?
Oh, okay.
Over your Snoopy.
Yeah. I really like it. Yeah.
Oh my God. I still haven't seen it in person. But while we're on the topic of Snoopy, just quickly, we're dispelling the rumor that it's not discontinued. That's nonsense.
No, So there was something went wrong, I think, with the e-com system in the US. Okay. So people got an email from Omega in the US that the Speedmaster Snoopy was not available anymore. That's not the case. It's still in production. It's still being delivered. They are fulfilling the wait lists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think many boutiques have stopped putting people on the wait list. Just the need to fulfill the wait list first.
Yeah.
But the watch is in production and will be in production. Not forever, of course. Don't take it too literally. No. Not a single watch will be in production forever.
But why do you prefer the Daniel Craig over the
Snoopy?
Don't
call it Daniel Craig.
Yeah, I just did.
It's the... Yeah, okay. The Craig White.
Craig White.
White Craig. No, I think I like the Silver Snoopy Award 50th anniversary. I prefer the previous one with the full white dial, with a little comic on the dial.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the silverish of the third one. Yeah. They're like less than the white.
The white.
And I think that just the new Speedmaster Professional with the white dial is cleaner. It has this lacquer dial. It has this enamel look. I think it really looks good.
Yeah. What surprises me, and now we're just going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll wrap up in a second.
Yeah, but what surprises me is that when I saw the first picture of the watch, I thought, I've seen it before. Because people were raving about it. It was all new. And then I thought, I've seen it before. And then I went to the beautiful big Speedmaster poster. And then you could just, there's a white one.
That was not the first time. Right? There was the Alaska. There was the Snoopy,
there's
of course.
An anniversary model.
So there were more white dials. The Albino, the Italian one.
Yeah.
But that was a bit more off-white.
Yeah, this is really like
this
crisp
is really white.
Yeah.
Like enamel. And I think they really did a nice job also with our markers in the black and the hands. Mm. It really looks good. It's fresh.
Yeah.
And I like it. It's like 100 euros or 100 Swiss francs more than the normal, the black dial one with sapphire crystal.
Racism. Sorry.
Yeah, perhaps.
Watch racism.
No, but it's apparently, I asked why. I asked why it's more expensive.
DM Lex. No.
It has to do with the hands and it has to do with the lacquering process of the dial. So makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, can't wait to see it in the metal.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too, for sure. All right, perfect. Well, thank you guys for joining me for this discussion. And of course, thank you for tuning in to experience it. So as always, make sure to leave a comment, like, subscribe, and of course, tune in next week for another episode of Fratello Talks. See you then.